With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Richard Merritt from the Hidden Killers podcast on the True Crime Today Network.
Y'all may be seated. Ms. Potter. Mr. Merritt, what you said happened in front of your eyes on February 1st, 2019 must have been horrifying for you.
It was.
You said that it shook you up.
Absolutely.
You were afraid for your own life?
I was so traumatized by what happened to my mother, I really wasn't worried about myself at that point.
Okay, but you were concerned for your wife and your daughter and your son?
Yes.
And you were so scared that you got out of there as fast as you could, right?
I did.
Okay. Made the decision not to turn yourself into the Cobb County Jail, right?
Correct.
And instead, you cut your ankle monitor off.
Yes.
But before you even did that, you made some stops along the way. You stopped at a Kroger on... You stopped at a Kroger first, correct?
No, I didn't actually stop there.
Okay, but you stopped in the parking lot and you drove around the parking lot in Kroger, right?
Correct, I did.
Okay, because you didn't need gas at that point because your mom's car was full enough to get you out of there. That's what you testified to, correct?
To get me... most of the way there, yes.
Okay. And then you stopped at a QT in Norcross, and we saw the video of that. Do you recall?
I do.
Okay. And you were there for how long? Do you remember?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay. Did you feel that you were being chased at that point?
At that point, no, I did not.
Okay. Did you feel like your life was in danger at that point?
I didn't know, honestly.
Okay. So you bought waters and a candy bar? Okay, and then you drove around 285 West, and you took the 75 North exit, right?
Correct.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but your wife's practice is over in Vinings, on West Paces Ferry and Paces Mill. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so you passed that exit when you got onto 75 North.
Correct.
And you did not stop to tell your wife that you had just watched your mother being killed and her life was in danger. Correct?
No, I did not.
Okay. And your son's school, Lovett, is just down the street from that. It's on West Paces Ferry. Is that right?
Yes.
And you did not make any efforts to take that exit, which is the exit before the exit to your wife's veterinarian clinic, to pick up your son from school or alert anyone that his life was in danger.
My son, I believe, was with his grandfather that day. He wasn't at school.
Okay, but you never made any phone calls to your wife? Correct?
No, I did not.
You never called Jack's school? Right?
No, I did not.
You never called Mia's school? Right?
No, I did not.
And so Jack was with Sal. That's your previous father-in-law. Did you ever call Sal Nicosi to let him know that you had seen this horrible event and that he and your entire family were in danger?
I didn't call any of them because the killers told me don't say a word to anyone, so I took them at their word based on what they did.
Okay, but they weren't following you, right?
I don't know if they were following me or not.
Okay. All right, so they could have very well been behind you.
It's entirely possible. I have no idea what vehicle they were in.
Okay, and a safe place to go would have been the Cobb County Jail, which you drove right past on 75 North. Is that correct?
The instructions were, and I took them at their word based on what they did to my mother, don't say a word to anyone. The last place to go would be to somewhere like the Cobb County Jail.
And why is that?
Well, you have law enforcement there. If they have people in Cobb County, they know a report, I'm more likely to say something because I'm in the safety of the jail. That made no sense to me whatsoever.
Okay, so you didn't make any calls to anybody to warn them that their lives were in danger, right?
These gentlemen told me, and I use gentlemen very sarcastically, these monsters told me, don't say a word to anyone. After what they did to my mother, I didn't say a word to anyone without qualification.
Okay, so these monsters, do you think that they were the same people who had been casing your house starting at the beginning of January?
Well, they sure knew we had a basement right off the rip.
Okay, and how many times had people driven off around the cul-de-sac, or driven around the cul-de-sac, as you testified earlier?
Suspiciously, at least 20 or 30 times by my count.
20 or 30 times? Did you ever get any of their tag numbers?
It would have been possible to run out there in the dark and get their tag numbers.
Did you ever call the police to say, oh my gosh, somebody is following me? Did you
ever
do that?
Actually, my mother and I did discuss it.
You discussed it, but you never called the police and you never made a report of people casing your house or running around the cul-de-sac in their cars, right?
No, we didn't.
Did you ever talk to any of the neighbors about what was going on?
I didn't. I can't say if my mother did or not.
Okay. So you weren't concerned at this point about these people riding around in the cul-de-sac because you obviously didn't make any do anything to prevent it from happening.
Quite the opposite, ma'am. I told my lawyer immediately when it happened, who did absolutely nothing.
Okay. All right. And you knew he did absolutely nothing.
He told me he was actually going to reach out to his contacts at the DA's office where he used to work alongside the person who prosecuted me, as well as his contacts with law enforcement and Cobb. They all did absolutely nothing.
Okay. But did you ever call DeKalb County police? Because that's where your mother's house was located.
No, I didn't call, and neither did my mother, to my knowledge.
Okay. And you understand that DeKalb County police would have jurisdiction over your mother's house?
Of course they would, ma'am. But the root of the activity was all indications sourced out of Cobb County.
All right. So these two, you called them monsters, right?
Yes.
You've never seen these guys in your life?
Never.
And they were both kind of big. You said one was pudgy. What about the other one?
He was athletic and thin.
Okay. And could you describe what they were wearing?
Yes, I can.
What was that?
The athletic thin one was wearing sort of a black thermal long sleeve top and what looked like dicky khaki pants.
Okay. And what kind of gun was he holding? Could you see?
I'm not a gun guy, but it was a semi-automatic, sort of like the police have. It was not a revolver.
What color was it?
It was black.
All right. And what about the other guy? What did he look like? You said he was pudgy, but how else did he look?
He was pudgy, had shoulder length brown hair, brown eyes, 5'8", 5'9", and he was wearing a camouflage hoodie.
Okay. Well, did he have the hoodie up?
No.
Okay. So you got a knock on the door after being followed or having people suspiciously drive around your neighborhood for several weeks, right?
Yes.
And this was the day that you were supposed to turn yourself into the jail.
Yes, it was.
And you looked out the window, right?
I did.
And you saw that there was a guy all in black, right?
I didn't say he was all in black.
A black shirt and dicky pants.
He was wearing a black top. That was it.
And a guy wearing a camouflage hoodie, right?
And blue jeans. Yeah.
And you had never seen these guys before, but you decided to answer the door.
I opened the door. We did not have a peephole in the door. It was not uncommon to just open the door. Could have been a neighbor. Could have been anybody. I certainly didn't expect that in the middle of the day.
Okay. And they held you up at gunpoint.
Yes, they said, let us in now.
They didn't shoot you.
No, they didn't shoot me.
They didn't shoot your mom.
No, they did not.
In fact, is it fair to say that they killed her with the kitchen knife from her own knife block?
I believe they did, yes.
Okay. And you wrote letters while you were in custody for this offense. Is that correct?
Yes.
You wrote many, many letters to your friends and family members, correct?
Mainly family members, yes.
Okay, specifically you wrote letters to Jean?
Yes.
And you wrote letters to your brother, Rob?
Yes.
Okay. And you told them that it wouldn't be unlikely that your fingerprints would be on that knife, correct?
From the standpoint that we all used the knives in the kitchen, I lived in the house, it very well could be on there. I don't know.
Did you tell him any fingerprints that may exist are easily explained as the dumbbells were mine? Did you tell him that?
Yes, I did.
And I regularly use the knife in question to prepare food, correct?
Yes, I did.
And you said you worked out 3 to 4 times per month and you were living there for 10 months, so it would not be hard to explain that evidence away if it were to appear.
Correct, because I knew what the murder weapons were because I saw the gentleman who used them, absolutely.
Okay, but you never told him anything about the two guys who came into the house with guns and bludgeoned your mother to death.
You really don't have that kind of capacity to write from being incarcerated. I told him the key facts.
Oh, okay. You told him the key facts that two guys broke into your mother's house?
I don't recall if I told him that or not.
Okay, and in fact, what you actually told him is the timing and substance of this disclosure will all make sense.
Yes, because I knew that I didn't do it, and I would have to sit here in my defense one day, absolutely.
But you never said anything to Janine about these two guys who were supposedly out and knew her whereabouts in any of these letters, right?
Janine wasn't reading anything I sent her.
Okay, and what about your brother? You never said, listen, these two guys are out. They've got photographs of our family on the phone, and you need to look into this. You need to do something and keep everyone safe.
I had absolutely no confidence that law enforcement would do anything at that point because they took out the warrant for the murder of my mother the same day they found the body and investigated nobody else.
Okay, and you said you took your mother's car, right?
Yes.
And you took your mother's phone as well, right?
Yes, I did.
And that doesn't make a lot of sense. Can you explain why you took your mother's phone?
I took my phone, of course, and I took her phone because of all the calls we had been getting on both my phone and her phone. I assumed that these were the same folks who had been calling us that had killed her. They might have some sort of demands. My phone or my mother's phone if these guys made a move on her or the kids, and I wanted to know exactly what was going on. That's why I took both phones.
You've seen the phone records that the state admitted into evidence, didn't you?
Of course.
Okay, both you and you've had the opportunity to review those phone records, right?
Yes.
And there were phone calls made to both your phone and your mother's phone while you were on the run, right?
I don't recall anybody calling me while I was on my phone anyway.
Okay.
She may have received some texts. A lot of those were SMS, not necessarily phone calls.
You never picked up any phone calls to your mother's phone on February 1st, 2019, did you?
No, but if I recall correctly, the calls that came in were people in her contact, so I had no worries that they were the ones who killed her.
Okay. And you got rid of those phones?
Yes.
You got rid of them before you even cut the ankle monitor off, or around the time that you cut the ankle monitor
off? Yes, I don't dispute the data or your expert.
So there was never any intent to turn them over to the police so that they could see whether anyone was after your mom or asking for demands, as you mentioned before?
No, because I took them at their word. Say nothing or this will happen to your family.
Okay. So whose idea was it to turn Jeffcoat, Mike Jeffcoat, down that morning?
It was actually my mother's suggestion. She says, I don't really need Mike to come today. And I said, okay, as long as you're able to drive and get yourself back.
All right.
That was the extent of the conversation.
All right. And but you, both you and she texted Mike. Are you aware of that?
Of course.
Okay. You went to Nashville. Is that the first place you went? Or did you stop anywhere else along the way?
I believe I stopped in Chattanooga to use the bathroom at a Walmart.
Okay. And you spent those entire 8 months in Nashville, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's be clear. The name you used was McMalveaux. Where did that name come from?
The alias that I used was from New Orleans. It was a Cajun-sounding name. That's why I picked it.
All right. And you made this driver's license, State's Exhibit 82, yourself, right?
Yeah, I got the template online, yes.
Okay. And you actually had the sleeves that you put driver's licenses in, or at least the kind that you put this in your car when it was collected, right?
I printed it off and believe the business card, plastic laminates, that's what I got.
All right. And even the birth date on this is incorrect.
Yes.
All right. Because it says here that you were born on February 25th of 1980, right?
Correct.
When actually your birthday is February 23rd, 1974.
That's right.
Okay. So you subtracted 6 years on your age because you didn't want to get caught.
I did not want to get found and have my family hurt as a result. I was trying to disappear to protect them.
All right. But you did go on to a dating app and meet women on that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you didn't have any concern about putting your information out on a dating app, did you?
What information specifically?
Any of it.
Well, I wasn't putting information out there as Richard Merritt.
Okay. All right. And did you speak with a New Orleans accent to Kelly?
No.
All right. And you were never a marketing executive, right?
No, I was not.
That was just something you made up to create this new persona of McMalveaux.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And you did not go to LSU.
No.
You were a Georgia fan.
I went to Georgia, yes.
And you weren't an LSU fan.
No.
And you were not a Saints fan.
Actually, I have been a Saints fan my whole life.
Okay. But you put those stickers on your mother's car as part of this persona of McMalveaux.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So that was part of the deception, is that right?
I would call it protection.
All right. And you also put a stolen license plate on your mom's car.
This is true, I did.
All right. So that was part of the lie as well, because you didn't want to be found by these monsters.
Absolutely right.
Or the cops.
That would lead to the monsters. Absolutely right.
Okay. And you said that you were staying with cousins in Nashville, correct?
I believe that is something I said, yes.
But that's not true either. Is it?
No, it wasn't true.
You didn't have any cousins or family in Nashville?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. And so you didn't really have a place to stay in Nashville?
Not at first, no.
Okay, until you met Kelly.
Correct.
So you were using her for a place to live. Is that right?
I wouldn't go that far, no.
Okay. You told Kelly that you did not have any kids. Correct?
That's true.
And you said you had a niece, though, with cerebral palsy.
I did.
And you never said anything about any kind of nephew, right?
No, I did not.
You said that your mom had died of leukemia. Is that a lie that you told?
That's what I told her.
Okay. And you grew your hair and beard out while you were there?
Yes.
And again, that was part of the persona of Mick Malveaux because you didn't want to get caught by these alleged monsters, right?
Yes, that's
and
true.
And you didn't want to get arrested either.
Well, that would definitely lead to compromising my family, yes.
All right. Mr. Merritt, when you originally stole money from your clients, you stole what, about $500,000, more or less, right?
Yes, correct.
And most of these clients were elderly.
Not most of them, about a third.
About a third, okay. Are you aware that the average age of the clients who are listed as your victims in the indictment is 61.2 years old?
I wasn't specifically targeting the elderly. I believe the law states that 65 and older is elder exploitation.
Okay, most of your victims were in their 60s and 70s. Is that right?
I really don't know the numbers, ma'am.
Okay, and they had been injured in car accidents and other kind of insurance claims. That's kind of the meat of the folks that you were representing and that you stole from. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you would tell them, you would settle their claims with the insurance company and not tell the clients that you had settled, right?
That's what I did.
And so you would take their money from the insurance company and keep it as your own, right?
Well, it would be put back into the firm for the most part, but yes.
Okay. And you also promised to put some money in your escrow account for certain clients, right?
Yes.
And again, you didn't put any of that money in an escrow account.
Pled to all this in January of 2018.
Okay. And you did this because the firm was in trouble.
It was, yes.
Okay.
Actually in trouble.
So is it fair to say, Mr. Merritt, that when you're in trouble, you lie to try to get out of it?
I don't believe that's fair to say at all.
Okay. Is it fair to say that when your firm was in trouble, you deceived many of your clients, at least the 17 listed in the indictment?
That is correct. I pled to that, yes.
Okay. And is it fair to say that you deceived the people who you worked with and worked for at Betty's Grill as to your name and where you were from and who you were? Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and is it fair to say that you made up an entire story and told a lie to Kelly Richardson because that would be a convenient way for you to get what you needed at that time?
I genuinely cared for Kelly. I didn't need her for a place to stay.
Okay, and yet, your entire relationship with her was a lie.
Parts of it, yes.
Okay. So is it fair to say that you have lied and deceived to get out of trouble in the past?
I don't think that's fair to say.
Okay, so the day of February 1st, 2019, these two guys came in, they killed your mother with her kitchen knife and your weight, right?
Yes, they were my weights.
And they didn't steal anything from the house.
I don't know if they did or not.
Okay, and they didn't break in. You said that you let them in yourself.
No, I'm not aware that they tried to break in before.
Okay, and they had never tried to break in prior to that.
I can't say who tried to break in at any given point.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because nobody, as far as you know, had tried to break into your house prior to that.
I'm not aware of anybody trying to break in, no.
Okay. But they did not leave a scratch on you.
They roughed me up a little bit going down the stairs, but no, they didn't.
Okay. And you were the person who they were after, right?
I'm quite certain that that was their intent when they came there, yes.
Okay. But they just let you go scot-free.
I believe when my mother started to get loud, that's when the gentleman pushed her and then he finished her off so she wouldn't make any noise. That's what I personally think, and they didn't realize what they got into and they took off. I don't know what their real intentions were. We never got that far.
Okay. They never pulled the triggers of either of those guns?
No, they did not.
Okay. And there was no struggle that caused any furniture to tip over, right?
I don't recall any, no.
Okay. Where did they get that knife from?
I believe they got it from the butcher block in the kitchen.
Okay. I don't have anything further.
No, you don't.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to step into the jury room for just a moment, please. Go back to the defense table. Mr. Queen, do you have any other witnesses? I'm going to bring the jury back out, let you rest, and then I'll ask if the state has any rebuttal evidence. Do you intend to call any rebuttal witnesses?
No.
All right, so I'll let you all rest on the record, and then I'm going to go ahead and excuse the jury. We'll do the charge conference, and then we'll do closing in the morning. You may be seated. Mr. Queen, if you'll call your next witness.
No, I was talking to Prince Russ.
Ms. Pott, any rebuttal evidence from the state?
No, Your Honor.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the evidence in this case is now closed. The next thing that you will hear will be the instruction of the court or the law that you are to apply to the facts that you've heard during the course of the trial. And then we'll have also the closing arguments by the attorneys. Each side has the option to close for up to 2 hours. So rather than start with the closings this afternoon, I'm going to go ahead and excuse you for the afternoon. There are a few matters that I need to address with the attorneys before we start with the closings and then the charge. So I don't want you all to have to wait for us this afternoon. So when you come in the morning at 9 a.m., we'll have the closing arguments and then the charge from the court, and then you can begin your deliberations in the case, all right? So please remember the instruction that I keep giving you not to talk about the case or allow anyone to talk to you about the case. Please be back at 9 a.m. in the morning, and again, you meet the deputy out in front of 7A at the other end of the hallway, all right? Thank you very much. Have a nice evening. Y'all may be seated. All right. We're going to go ahead and do the charge conference. So I received the state's request to charge. It's 1 through 9. Is that the entirety of it?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Mr. Queen, I got an initial request to charge and then an amended request, but that's 1 through 9. Is that the entirety of it?
And listen, Judge, you should have gotten one this morning.
Follow a
second amendment.
Okay. I don't think I received
that one. All right, well, let's start with the state's request then. State's request number one, Mr. Queen, I see that you requested the long version of direct and circumstantial evidence. State have any objection to the long version?
I always prefer the short. Maybe look at the long version. Your Honor, Mr. Queen's includes both the short and the long version. Actually,
no.
Let me see.
It's just the long version. Unless that's in the amended. Yeah.
I need to go for short version, but in this case, because it is a circumstantial evidence case, I did choose the long version.
We could look. I'm sorry, I'm just not quite there.
Here.
Are you asking for any of the parentheticals in the first paragraph?
In the first paragraph.
I usually read all of them.
I am asking for them.
Okay. And what about the parentheticals in the other paragraphs? One, two, three, four.
Right, one says correct, and then there's one which says substantive. I am asking for parentheticals, Judge.
Okay. And just so that you all know, it is this court's practice to give a copy of the charge to each of the members of the jury.
You give each one the one?
Okay. Yes. Ms. Potts, any objection?
Just that I do always prefer the short, and I would prefer it that this is,
All right, I'll give the long version. Any objection to two, Mr. Queen?
No objection.
Three?
No objection.
And I'm going to give the pattern on all of these. The current pattern. The objection of four.
No objection.
Five, and I will instruct them on the definition of aggravated assault.
That's request number seven, Your Honor.
Right. So, in count four, the heading says aggravated assault, family violence, but there's no language in here to make it specifically a family violence aggravated assault. So,
agreed.
I would just give the pattern on aggravated assault. And then in count five, seems to be an additional element of age, for the age of the victim.
I believe that that goes towards sentencing. I don't know if it's something that the jury needs to be charged on. If you look at pattern 1.62.00, and it does state, if you find the defendant guilty, you should further specify in your verdict in the place provided whether you do or do not find that, and then it gives the example, the victim was age 65 or older at the time of the event.
That's not your request to charge.
It's not, and it's my mistake.
So as to count five, when I'm given the instruction about aggravated assault, I would just add that an additional element to the offenses charged in count five is that the state must prove that the victim is 65 years of age or older. Is that what you're asking me to do?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. And then give the jury that option on the verdict form.
We'll talk about the verdict form, because I don't think either of you submitted proposed verdict forms, but I do think that count five may require some additional instruction. I'm sorry, state's request three.
Okay.
and four are not the current pattern. So I think I did say that before, but I will be given the pattern. Yes. And same with State's Request 5. I'll give the current pattern. And I think State's Request number 6 is consistent with the current pattern. So any objection to 6?
Yes.
Okay.
We would get the 6. The correlation case.
I don't think that there's any. I don't think this is talking about causation. This is describing what's required for the felony to be considered a cause of the homicide. So this is in the pattern. Giving further instruction about felony murder.
I'm not disagree with you, but the evidence in this case, where causation, a knife to the face, a dumbbell to the head, it's in really a causation case, but...
So, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
I'm just saying, causation in this case is not an issue. The language... It may be illuminating for some people, but I think it's unnecessary to say the causation case given the level of violence with both instrumentalities. But, so I'm just placing an objection on the record.
I understand. I'm going to give 6. All right. As to 7, what I would propose, what I usually do is to split the counts up so that there will be a section that says count four aggravated assault. And this is with an offensive weapon. Okay. So for count 4, I would read for aggravated assault, the state must prove that the defendant assaulted another person with an offensive weapon. To prove assault, the state does not have to prove that the other person was actually injured. However, the state must prove that the defendant attempted to cause bodily injury to the person. An offensive weapon is any object that is likely to cause or actually does cause death or serious bodily injury if used against someone. Any objection to that as to count 4?
No objection.
And I would read essentially the same thing as to count 5, but indicate that there is the additional element that the state must prove the victim in the case was 65 years of age or older. Any objection to that?
No objection.
No.
State's request 8 is still part of the pattern, or is still the pattern. Any objection to 8?
No objection.
9.
I assume subsection A on?
Yes, Your Honor, that's what I'd ask for.
Yes. So, any objection to 9?
In that form, no, Your Honor.
All right, let's go to the defendant's request to charge. So I'm looking at the amended request, and then we'll look at the second amended, because I think the amended one includes everything that was requested in the original.
I think I only added like one or two to the original judge.
Okay.
Your Honor, may I ask what date that one was?
May 16th.
Okay. And then the amended, second amended is May 23rd, is that right?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Any objection to 1 from the state?
No, Your Honor.
2? I don't think we have any of the parentheticals.
No deposition, no stipulation. Correct, Your Honor. No judicial notice.
That's correct.
We talked about direct and circumstantial evidence already. Mm-hmm. Any objection to 4?
That the expert witness?
Yes.
No.
Are you withdrawing 5?
I'll draw 5.
Any objection to 6?
No objection.
All right, I'll take out any reference to party to a crime. Any objection to 7? What about the parentheticals? Which ones of those are you asking me to give? I think.
On the article bench.
Okay, so not at the scene. And on the weapon.
Correct.
All right. Any objection to 8?
No.
You were drawing 9?
No.
What good character testimony do we have?
I think we have character of the defendant for a particular trait, more specifically nonviolence.
And who testified about that?
His wife did, then she tried to qualify it by telling her story. and then defended it.
So, who do we have who offered an opinion or some indication of reputation or specific instances of conduct?
We heard from Ms. Manicosi evidence of character defendant for civil trait for a particular trait, specifically nonviolence.
That's not my recollection of her testimony.
And then she qualified it by saying that there was some instant.
When did she testify that he had a particular character trait of nonviolence?
That was in the midst of the cross report. She backtracked from him and told the story about him pushing.
And so what? You're alleging that's her opinion? In reference to the second set of parentheticals. So
yes.
What was the form of this testimony?
Opinion.
Any objection from the state?
I don't recall her saying that he had a reputation one way or the other. And she specifically gave an instance of conduct. You know what? I'm not going to object.
Okay. Okay. Any objection to defendant's request 10?
I don't have. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the one?
The second amendment is this.
That's the second amendment. It's sympathy.
No.
Judge, I wasn't sure if that was in your standard package or not, so that's why I asked.
It is. But I don't usually give the parentheticals in the second paragraph unless there's some specific evidence of them, and I don't think we have that in this case.
That's fine, Judge.
Okay. And I noticed that neither one of you asked for presumption of innocence, burden of proof. I do generally give that. I will instruct them on their responsibilities as jurors about the indictment and the issue and plea of not guilty. And I will instruct them on credibility of witnesses. Nobody's requesting impeachment, right? I didn't see that in any of the charges.
No.
Definition of crime, anybody requesting that? I usually give that.
You usually give that, I assume.
Yes, I mean, nobody requested it, so.
And just for future reference,
mm-hmm.
Do you want us to submit everything and then
yes.
sort it out?
Yes.
Or
even if all you do is a checklist.
Okay.
It can be 1 through 20 and you just put the names. You don't necessarily have to give me the pages. You could just give me the numbers.
Okay. Okay.
So I give definition of crime and intent. No presumption of criminal intent. Anybody requesting that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure we're all on the same page. that nobody says, well, I assumed you were going to give it, but you didn't give it.
Right.
Okay. Presumptions and inferences.
Please give.
Yes.
And venue.
Please give.
Yes.
Okay. And that's the extent of the standard pattern that I usually give. Is there anything else that you can think of that is not in the request to charge that you want me to give?
Not from the state, Your
Honor. No, Your Honor.
Okay. So I will send a draft copy of the charge to you by email this afternoon so you all can look at it overnight, and then in the morning we'll address whether or not you have anything additional that you want me to include or anything that needs to be corrected. And I'll also send you a proposed verdict form to look at. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Anything else before we recess?
No, Your Honor.
And we did find out that the smell that we smelled this morning was the fan that they installed so that it would the air would work and it wouldn't be warm in here. It blew out. So that's what that smell was. So they're coming at 5 today to put in a new fan, and hopefully that one will last us until we can finish up with the case. Because right now, the air's not working in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. See you all at 9 in the morning.
You're listening to the trial of Richard Merritt from the Hidden Killers podcast on the True Crime Today Network. Press subscribe now and get ad-free episodes by upgrading to our premium experience through Apple Podcasts. Or next.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.